Last week, we ran a piece marking the anniversary of the Roosevelt Park uprising in Albuquerque, and we shared archival footage from that day. Today, we're looking deeper at the roots of that rebellion and what impact it had in Albuquerque and for the Chicano movement in New Mexico. KUNM's Yasmin Khan has more.
Dozens of people braved the 100-degree weather last Sunday in Roosevelt Park to remember the Chicano-led rebellion against police brutality and racism that was sparked there on June 13, 1971. The rebellion is a key but often overlooked moment in New Mexico's Chicano history. 50 years later, and in the context of the 2020 Black Lives Matter uprising, the rebellion serves as a reminder of the long record of police violence, resistance, and collaboration by people of color in the state. Chicano community elders Richard Moore and Joaquin Lujan, formerly part of the Chicano rights organization, the Black Berets, recounted how the rebellion started. Lujan explained that besides police repression, the rebellion was triggered by widespread racism against the Chicano community.
There was a lot more frustration that came out during that time. It wasn't just the youth. It was nuestra gente that we haven't really had a chance to have an explosion and to come out and say, you know what, the racism, losing our water rights, losing our land, putting our people in jail, all of that came to head.
Moore explained that June 13th is his birthday, and in 1971, the Black Berets were getting ready for a party. But the mood quickly changed from celebratory to rebellious when they started getting calls about police presence in Roosevelt Park, where Chicano families had gathered for picnics.
We came down, and it was already going crazy. There was families, all nuestra gente were over here. The police were starting to move away from here, and they all gathered up the hill. They seemed to be getting ready. You could see the guns, and you can see the rifles and all that. They just started opening fire at us at the park. Like today, they weren't willing to have a conversation. They didn't want to talk about what our issues were. No, let's open fire and let's deal with it that way.
Moore said people frightened of the police called the Black Berets to Roosevelt Park that day because the organization was active in fighting police brutality and organizing community tribunals against police repression.
We were monitoring the police. There were no cell phones, but we had massive communications with our community. The community would inform us, and we would say for the police to move out. The people would say it, that the Black Beret Community Patrol will take care of this situation.
The uprising was quelled after the National Guard was called in, although Lujan points out that the Black Berets received calls from Chicano and Black National Guardsmen who said they refused their deployments to Albuquerque out of solidarity with the rebellion. Today, the Black Berets are not active, but many of the issues of police violence, loss of land and water rights, and worker exploitation remain. Mercedes Avila, an educator and community organizer in Albuquerque, says remembering these events reminds people of how important New Mexico's position is in past and ongoing Chicano movements.
And when we think about the Chicano movement, I think that oftentimes it's conflated as having taken place specifically in California and that we've kind of co-opted this idea. But as we can see here today, its roots are so strong in New Mexico, and New Mexico had just an integral role in the Chicano movement. And I think it's important that our community be educated.
New Mexico State Representative Patricia Roybal Caballero, who was an activist then and now, says in the 1970s, cities around the country had federal funding to provide summer jobs to Chicano, Black, and Indigenous youth, jobs that these communities needed to help occupy and train young people from marginalized communities. She says cities instead hired white kids for summer youth jobs, leaving other young people idle. This contributed to the uprising, and she says not much has changed today.
Our youth were profiled and targeted as lazy, as having nothing to do better than to take drugs and drink alcohol and hang out. And that's where, again, our institution refuse to take up their responsibility that every person has an equal right and opportunity to experience freedom, liberty, and equal access to what this country has to offer. That's what they failed to do, and they continue and fail to do that today.
Nancy Montaño, an organizer in the Chicano community now and during the 1971 uprising, urged people to engage with those around them.
It's real easy to talk to those of you who've come to Jesus already, right? But it's harder to talk to people who have not been educated, understand their own history, and know where they come from. Speak with your siblings, speak with your parents, and I just find that's very important.
Organizers with Bernalillo County La Raza Unida say they're hoping to hold another teach-in about the rebellion and Chicano history in the fall.
Chicano!
Power!
Chicano!
Power!
Que viva la raza!
Que viva la raza!
For KUNM, I'm Yasmin Khan.